exciting when what happens in the part of the service prior to you sharing something confirms what you have felt to talk about. And I think people were quite struck by the style of the way that we heard aspects of Jesus in that video that was played by Dean. And I wasn't aware Dean was going to show that, and he wasn't aware of how I was going to try and respond to the question of who is Jesus to you. It occurred that as Jesus was praying privately, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, Elijah, and others, that one of the ancient prophets has come back to life." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" I want you to imagine for a moment that Jesus is actually here this morning. And he is here by his Spirit, but just imagine that Jesus is here at the front of the auditorium, and he asks those same questions. He looks out at the audience to particular people and says, "Who do people say that I am?" And Vic down the back might well say, "Well, my neighbour would say that the accounts of your life seem contradictory, and he's not convinced that you even exist." And Shane might speak up and say, "Well, my workmates would say you're a really good guy, but a long time ago, and there must be other ways to reach God if you really want to." Mrs. Winter, sitting at the front here, she might say, "Well, my neighbour believes you really are of God and from God, but she doesn't want to come to a church." And no doubt many of you would have some idea of what some of your friends, your colleagues, your family would respond if they were asked the question of, "Who do you think Jesus really is?" But then Jesus looks directly at each one of us and says, "But who do you say that I am?" We can speculate what Pontius Pilate would have answered. "Jesus? Yes, an enigma, not deserving of execution. I was convinced he was innocent of those charges the Jews accused him of, but he was a threat to Rome and possibly to my role as prefect of the Roman province of Judea. Yes, I was fearful of him, for there was something different about that man. He neither defended himself or refuted my question whether he was the king of the Jews. But to be honest, I was more fearful of the people's reactions if I had released him and the consequences to my career. A good man, I believe, but a necessary sacrifice for the greater good." We can speculate what United States President Thomas Jefferson would have answered. "Jesus? Oh, yes, he was truly a great moral teacher and example. But born of a virgin? A worker of miracles? Rising from the dead after being crucified? No, no, no. Do I believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God." Mahatma Gandhi, the Indian advocate and practitioner of peace, tolerance, and nonviolent resistance, wrote in an essay on the subject of what Jesus meant to him, "What then does Jesus mean to me? To me, he was one of the greatest teachers humanity has ever had. To his believers, he was God's only begotten Son. Could the fact that I do or do not accept this belief make Jesus any more or less influence in my life?" C.S. Lewis, the Oxford historian, academic, popular writer, and Christian apologist, argued, quote, "Christ either deceived mankind by conscious fraud, or he was himself deluded and self-deceived, or he was divine. There is no getting out of this trilemma. It is inexorable." And I quote from his book, Mere Christianity. "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sorts of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with some patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God." That's C.S. Lewis. But who is Jesus to you? Paul, an ethnic Jew, born a Roman citizen, a highly educated, multilingual intellectual, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee diligent in enforcing the Mosaic laws and retaining the purity of the Jewish faith. Who did Paul say Jesus was to him? Listen to what he wrote to his followers, or to the followers of Christ, in the city of Colossus. Reading from chapter 1, and I'm reading in verse 15 in the Amplified. "Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation, for it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, intervention, and in him and for him. And he existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. He also is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and at every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him permanently. And God purposed that through, by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father, made peace by means of the blood of his cross. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him and were of hostile attitude of mind in your wicked activities, yet now has Christ, the Messiah, reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his, the Father's, presence." Wow. Paul, what an amazing, amazing statement of who Jesus is to him. But who is Jesus to you today, right now? Is he your Passover lamb, as he was for the Hebrew people of the book of Exodus, the lamb who had to be slaughtered and partaken of that death would not visit each family? Is he your high priest, as he was in Leviticus, who intercedes on your behalf to the Father God? Is he your pillar of cloud by day, as in the book of Numbers, to protect you from the sapping heat and pressure of life's activities, and your pillar of fire at night to cocoon, protect, and keep the enemy of your soul at bay while you sleep? Or is he to you, as he was to Joshua, the captain of your salvation, who leads and fights battles on your behalf, wrestling in both the seen and the unseen world with the powers that oppose God's people? Or is he your kinsman redeemer, as in the book of Ruth, who, though you were a lost and distant member of his family, far from home, he paid the price to be responsible for you, and thereafter to love and care for you as a bride of his choice? So who is Jesus to you? Is he for you the one who is rebuilding the broken walls of your life, as he had Nehemiah rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem, his beloved city? Though the task seemed hopeless, as sometimes our lives seem hopeless, he does not give up, and he will not give up until his work is complete in your life. Is he your Mordecai, as in the book of Esther, who will speak up, no matter what the cost, to protect and guard your life from the plots of the enemy, as the enemy of your soul seeks ways to disarm, cripple, and discourage? The lover of your soul already knows those plans and can frustrate them by the word of his truth. Is he your shepherd, as he was for David in the book of Psalms, who leads you by still waters to restore your soul and to bless you with goodness and mercy, even though times of danger and deep sorrow and grieving may come your way? Your place of reflection and refuge when the storms of life threaten to overwhelm you? Is he your reigning king, as he is in Kings and Chronicles, who you acknowledge as the sovereign ruler in your life, accepting his fair, firm, sometimes difficult, but compassionate judgments? So who is Jesus to you? Is he the one who has permitted you to be tested and tried to your limit, yet you will not abandon him? Because you know he will not abandon you, but will ultimately reward you beyond what you can imagine, as he did for his faithful servant Job. Can you say, as Job said, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him"? Is he your true source of wisdom, as revealed in the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, giving you the keys to living and decision-making, surpassing the knowledge of this world? Is he the one who loves you as no other can, as the bridegroom loved his bride in the Song of Solomon? So who is Jesus to you? Is he your Prince of Peace, your refuge and only true source of peace, as revealed in the book of Isaiah? Is he your fourth man, as he was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, in situations where if you stand up for your faith, it may cost you dearly, physically, socially, or career-wise? It may bring rejection, contempt, ridicule, or worse. But you can say, as they did, "The God I serve is able to save me from this, and he can rescue me. But even if he does not, I will not serve any other god or worship any image created by man. Is he to you like the faithful husband Hosea, who despite your failures and your unfaithfulness will pursue you and continue to love you and welcome you back, forgiving you not once but many times, though you don't deserve it? So who is this Jesus to you? Is he the one, as in Joel, who fills you with his Holy Spirit and empowers you to be who you are designed to be and to do the works he has prepared for you? Is he the one you cannot escape? You cannot escape from him because he has a divine purpose for your life, and he will do everything he can to have you fulfill that purpose, even going to extreme lengths to get your attention, as he did with his reluctant runaway servant Jonah. What would have been the destiny of the people of Nineveh had he not been pursued by the call of God? Is he the one who challenges your priorities and seeks to turn your focus to his kingdom rather than pleasures, and to stand firm when the going gets tough, as he spoke to his people through the prophet Haggai? Is he to you the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, as he was to those who revered and feared his name in the book of Malachi, causing them to skip about like young calves? So who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus your Messiah, as he is depicted in the book of Matthew, your wonder worker, as he is in Mark? Do you acknowledge him as the very and only Son of God, as upheld in the Gospel of John? Is he the power of God working in your life, as he was throughout the book of Acts? Is he your justifier, the one who pleads your case to free you from the bondage and penalty of the law, as explained in the books of Romans and Galatians? Is he your treasure house of unsearchable riches, as described in the book of Ephesians? Is he the one who supplies all your needs according to his riches in glory, as promised in the book of Philippians? So who is Jesus to you? Is he for you the fullness of the Godhead, fully man and yet fully God, a great mystery as described in the book of Colossians? And as we heard from Dean a couple of weeks ago, is he your soon coming King, who you are looking forward to meeting in the sky, to be with forever throughout eternity, as described in 1 and 2 Thessalonians? Is he your mediator, the only one who can stand between God and man and present your case to God the Father, as in 1 and 2 Timothy? Is he your faithful pastor who guides, teaches and watches over you, as Titus was instructed by Paul to do for his flock? Is he your friend who sticketh closer than a brother, as described in the book of Philemon? Is he for you the one who keeps his everlasting word and covenants, as described in the book of Hebrews, and is offered a new and living way, freeing you from the legalism of the Mosaic covenant? So who is Jesus to you? Is he for you the one who encourages you not to run from trials, but to view them as opportunities to grow and see God's faithfulness, as James so uncompromisingly teaches? Is he for you love, real love, unconditional love, love that gives and gives and gives again, as revealed in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? And is he your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords, as declared in the book of Revelation. So who is Jesus to you? I cannot answer that. Only you can respond to that question. But I know this. He's the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, the Alpha and the Omega, our soon and coming King, the creator of the universe, who spoke everything into being with the power of his word. He is the bright and morning star. He was Noah's ark. He supplied Abraham's ram. He was Daniel's lion tamer. He parted the Red Sea. He multiplied the loaves of bread. He walked on the water. He calmed the storm. He healed the sick, and he offered forgiveness to the woman caught in adultery. Who is he? He's Jesus of Nazareth. He is the sweet honey in the rock and the bread of life. He is the pearl of great price, the rock of ages, and he is our refuge from the storm. Who is he? He's Jesus, the Savior of our soul. He is the everlasting Father, the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but through him. He is the narrow way. He is God. He is higher than the angels. And of him, the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." So who is Jesus to you? I leave you to ponder this most important question you will ever have to answer. And my prayer is that along with Peter and millions throughout history, you can answer as he did, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Father, we are just overwhelmed and overawed at who you are, at what you have done, at what you are doing, and what you have in store for us. Lord, open our mind to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we serve, who has saved us. And we praise you for such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a song here which I'd like to just put up, and it kind of complements what I've said, but it's really, I guess, looking at aspects not so much of Jesus as of God himself, probably from a more Jewish perspective, I guess, but everything that is in that song is true of our Lord Jesus as well. If I can drive this machine, escape. Minimize that one. Cool. Okay.
Thank you, Chris. I felt that was a masterly presentation.